Hello, friends. I am back for more. Another unexpected sabbatical. But at any rate, it's Wednesday, April 29, and I've got a few disjointed things on the docket in my brain to kind of touch. The first thing I wanted to do was give an overview of the absolutely insane situation that the entire planet has been infected with. And it was a recent United Nations study. You can go look it up. And because of the Western world's response to the Wuhan flu, the Chinese flu, 133 million people are set to starve to death. Just because of the shutdown of the Western countries. So, this harkens back to a lot of things. And my mind is just beaming and starting to connect all these dots. One of the original goals of an individual named Thomas Malthus, who existed about 200 years ago. You can look up Malthusianism. It's kind of I've mentioned it before, it's a doctrine that states that the ends justify the means, but one of his ideas was for Western countries to focus on depopulating the third world. Because they were racists, they were eugenicists, whatever you want to say. And the same ties of Malthus and the Galtons and the Wedgwoods and Darwin and all these people in this eugenics cult, the same money, the same endowment funds, Planned Parenthood, these same things that were created so long ago are currently funding individuals who want to vaccinate everybody. And who are these mysterious authorities like Bill Gates who get to dictate what the Western world does, adding to the destruction of the third world. So, excuse me, I'm troubled by this personally, because like the president said, do we want the cure to be worse than the problem? And he alluded to some of this, that the response to all of this is creating situations much worse for everybody. People are looking at, in the United States, the numbers, an economic depression for the next 10 years just because of our response to this. So all of the economic development and growth that was happening has now just come to a screeching halt and just started to fall apart. And some people are saying, you know, food and supply chains and all of this are just decimated beyond repair. And there was a video where there's all these government grants and incentives, money given to farmers and ranchers to, you know, kill all their chickens, euthanize their cows, dump all their milk, and break all the eggs. So they get the money, and it's more money than they would get trying to sell it. It's because the trucks aren't coming to pick it up, so they don't really have a choice. So I'm not blaming the farmers, but the whole situation is like it was engineered to bring America to its knees, but we can still accept beef and chicken, poultry and pork from China and Africa. Which is absolute madness. So I know I just kind of flung poop at the wall, and a lot of it hopefully stuck, but this eugenics cult that seems to run the planet, I want to dive in a little more on that. So you'll recognize the name Darwin, theory of evolution. This guy got this theory from having a fever for 3 days that was 109 degrees. He almost died. And he had hallucinations while he was in a fever that helped tie together the theory of evolution. Okay, that's creepy. And they were eugenicists, so these elite Europeans interbred, because they thought if they interbred, you know, they believed in evolution. They believed we came from monkeys, that we came from apes. So obviously, just using your eyes, if you believe that, then the whiter races are better than the browner races. That is the fruits of that theory, in my opinion. So the further away you get from brown, the better. So these people thought if they could interbreed and intermarry, that they would eventually create offspring that were supermen, ubermenschen. It's where Hitler got the idea of the perfect race, because blonde hair and blue eyes is the exact opposite of Afro brown hair or black hair and brown eyes. I mean, do you see the parallels here? So this eugenics idea was like an academic idea. It was the academic idea of the time. And it was even in America. These other races of people were seen as less than human. And it led to just some of the most obvious atrocities humanity's ever seen. Well, so these people interbred, and they were deep in the occult. They were doing drugs, and they were seeing visions and downloading information from entities. Go look up Clockwork Elves if you want to know more. So at the top of these endowment funds and this long-standing family money, you have people like Bill Gates. Bill Gates' father ran Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist named Margaret Sanger. She said black people are human weeds that need to be eliminated or exterminated. I can't remember which word she used. And here you have someone like Bill Gates saying we can't go back to normal until everyone gets a vaccine, or everyone gets a chip, or everyone has some kind of tracking device on their body to make sure they have the antibodies for the coronavirus. But he makes no, and he's poised up there, and he's perched up there on this pedestal like he's saving everybody, while 133 million people that are brown are going to starve to death. He comes from the same line of thought, a Malthusian type of ideology. And Bill Gates' mother worked for IBM. IBM was the original company that was created that put the numbering system on the Jews' arms in the concentration camps. So Bill Gates' story of how he just started a computer company in a garage is total hogwash. He was picked. He was chosen. He's a front man of a cult, of an organization, a eugenics racist cult that has a history of dabbling in demons, literally. And he's perched up on the top of the planet as some high priest that gets to dictate who lives or dies, when they live or die, how they live or die. And it's just, it's irksome to me, because it seems crazy. It seems nuts. And it is nuts. It is absolutely crazy. So that's the history of that, or a small history of that. I forgot kind of what else or where I was going to branch off from that. But these ideas are still there. And I believe personally they have more implications than I'm leading on. But that's irrelevant. We could deal with what we already have. We have the absolute total shutdown of Western countries, a possible pending and looming economic depression, not just a recession, in the Western countries. It's currently set to starve out 133 million brown people. That happens to coincide with what Bill Gates said about getting CO2 and population, quote, pretty near zero, unquote. That coincides with the first commandment on the Georgia Guidestones, maintain human population in balance with nature at about 500,000 people. I mean, do I need to keep going with this agenda here? It's absolute madness. And in the states here, not every state is subordinating itself to this agenda. My state has remained probably one of the most free to live and work and drive and whatnot, and gather if you wanted to risk it. But some of these communist states like New York, California, or Michigan, their totalitarian overlords just keep pushing the envelope as to how much tyranny that their populations will stomach or swallow. So it's pretty obvious what's going on here. This is a giant hoax. Not saying that this virus can't kill you, but the hoax in the response. It's a giant test run, because when they do this again, or if they do this again, they've got better numbers, they've got better actuaries, they got a better destructive model in place for all of this. They know who to target, they know which local governments, you know, might need further harassing to fall in line. And I could just go on and on. The hospitals are empty. All these numbers that they first came out with, you know, 200 million are going to die or get infected and die. And now it's, you divide the numbers and it's like 0.001% are going to die. It's just, it's almost like you need to turn your mind off and your emotions off and listen to what they say. And then 5 days later, listen to what they say and how it's exactly opposite. But if you look at what's going on in the general populace, you know, a lot of people are wearing their muzzle, their mask, their free speech muzzle, covering their mouth. And people have referenced as to what isolating actually does to humans. It actually makes you sicker because it lowers your immunity. To isolate, you only isolate sick people. You don't isolate healthy people. Not everyone's a suspect here, but we're all being treated like suspects, and we're all being conditioned to treat everyone else like a suspect, which is more mindlessness. We adopted a Stasi, Nazi-like outlook and mentality towards each other and society. We adopted it overnight, just lickety-split. Something that took Hitler and the brown shirts and the secret police like a decade to achieve, from like 1929 to 1939, was achieved in the Western countries in like a week, or like 3 days. All because of a boogeyman that might kill you. SARS was worse than this. The swine flu was worse than this. All these flus were worse than this. And guess what? You know, life went on. You know, society kept going. The earth kept spinning. But no, we had to stop the earth from spinning and wreck a bunch of people's lives and kill people. All for what? For some eugenics satanic cult that goes back 250 years, probably even further. So that's where I'm at with all of these things. It's just an update. The other thing I wanted to get into, it finally popped back into my head, so this is kind of like a double rant, is I've kind of coalesced a lot of my thoughts on something I mentioned before, which was my thoughts on Jordan Peterson's philosophies. And I want to dive into that a little bit. And I don't say any of this to, you know, berate the man, because I think he's doing overall positive stuff. And I personally have enjoyed listening to all of his ideas, and I think if they were general, if these were general ideas that society believed as a whole, I think society would be better off. The thing that bothered me the most, and I finally kind of figured out how to narrow it down with words, is that he's an evolutionist and he believes in evolution, which is fine. I don't mind if that's the theory you want to entertain as to how we got here. Side note, you still end up with the main problem, which was where was the first cause and what started it. And he never seems to address that, which is fine. He's a scientist. You can't address a supernatural event. But back to the original point. He believes in evolution, and evolution is a guiding force. So it's accepted as fact, like gravity. It's just a thing that's there. And we lack the words to describe it. And it's so ethereal that you can attribute a lot of things to just, quote, the evolutionary process, unquote. Which is also fine, but if you want to get nuanced, which I think sometimes we need to, what I've gathered so far from the host of most of his lectures, and I've listened to what I know is out there, I've probably listened to over 65% of what's out there. But he repeats a lot of ideas, so I think it's probably safe to say I've listened to the majority of it. And so evolution is a force. Well, what Jordan Peterson likes to do is look at scripture, biblical scripture, in the way that a psychologist would. He looks at all of the myths, that he would call them in there, as myths, as ideas, as things that were passed down orally and audibly for thousands or millennia. And the best of the best was kept and written down. And that's fine. I'll ride that wave. I don't believe it was like that, because I believe they're a lot younger. And I am a fundamentalist at heart, and he's not a fundamentalist, which he admits, which is fine. We can agree to disagree on that. But the thing that bothers me the most is that he's equating evolution and God as the same force. To where, and I've mentioned this before, but hopefully I can mention it right now with a little more, with a little more emphasis or a little more tailored nuances. So he likes to give credence to the scriptures and you know, mythological creation stories in the Bible and the biblical stories, because he sees that they have value in what he's discovered as how the human brain and how human behavior maps directly with some of these stories. And a few examples of that are chaos and order, the creation stories, you know, night and day, chaos and order, order out of chaos, the spoken word, telling the truth, things of that nature. He sees them as valuable from a psychiatric standpoint, because in his experience as a psychiatrist, he's seen like this is how things seem to generally work with humans, is that we view things as a story, and they're encoded in our DNA, they're mapped onto systems in our brain and how our brain evolved, so they're valuable. But my personal problem with this stance is that it's too generic for my liking, which is fine. That doesn't mean you might not like it, but it seems to suggest that as time goes on, humans are the ones that are responsible, or this unguided force of evolution, which doesn't distinguish between good and evil, is the one responsible for creating God. So it puts the thing that created everything and put it into motion, like evolution, because there are forms of evolution that are true. Like if you breed different dogs, you get varying sizes. But you never go cross species for evolution. It's never happened. But it takes the creating force and puts it in subject and underneath the authority of a random, unguided force called evolution. So evolution is the chief here. It's something we have no control over. It controls us. It's malevolent. It doesn't know the difference between good or evil. It's championed by death. And that's one thing that the creationist Kent Hovind alluded to. And I heard Jordan Peterson say it today. Like, we should appreciate everything we have in Western society because there was a lot of death to get here. And that's a true statement. But the thing to glorify isn't death. The thing to reward isn't death. So in his ideology, Mr. Peterson's ideology, which is chiefly evolutionary, the savior of the story is a lot of death and a lot of time passing, a lot of trial and error, a lot of happy accidents. And I personally think that a more personal being that set in motion all of what we see and all of what we experience is responsible. And yes, there's malevolence in the world. Yes, there's some evil stuff. So Mr. Peterson and I would arrive at the same conclusion that you do need to willfully take up your cross and bear it, just like the scriptures say. You do need to stand up straight with your shoulders back. You do need to do all these things because we're driven morally and ethically and want to live a good life and whatnot. So we arrive at the same conclusion. That's why I don't take huge issue with entertaining what he talks about. But the one subtle difference that I've noticed is that what is chief in his mind is the evolutionary idea instead of the creator that created forms of evolution that exist on our planet.